From our family to your family, this is A Legacy of Faith, the podcast. Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We're glad you've joined us this week for what promises to be a very special episode. We hope you think that all of our episodes are special, but this one's one that's a little bit different, something we're trying for the first time. We've had guests before on the program, but this is the first time we've had as many as we have this week, and doing this in a little bit different format than we've done it before. As I mentioned to you at the close of last week's episode, I'm going to be joined this week not by one, not by two, not by three. I'm going to be joined by five guests. And the way this program has been recorded is earlier, I recorded each interview separately, and we've tried to piece those together. But I know a lot of you, as parents, as families, you hear people talk about, you read articles, and they talk about the importance of family devotionals or family worship or whatever you want to call them, call these periods of time together. But sometimes you think, number one, I'm not sure where to start. And then the most obvious excuse, or the most common excuse, I guess, that's given is, we're just so busy. I don't have the time to put everything together. I'm not sure we can make the time to come together. But for sure, I don't have the time to put something together, put a big, long, fancy thing together. And the problem with that way of thinking is that family devotionals don't have to be something long and fancy. In fact, when I speak on this particular matter, I try to mention that these do not need to be long times. Usually about 10 minutes is probably the average from what most people have told me. Ours are usually actually quite often a little bit shorter than that, probably more like about 7 or 8 minutes, maybe 10, but something along those lines. And surely a couple of times a week or more you can come together for that length of time. But just in case you still are just not sure where to start, I have recorded interviews with five moms, all of whom are very busy, have very full lives, but they have graciously agreed to come on and to talk to us about their family a little bit, but then to share with each of us a quick devotional idea that you can do. And I try to select ladies who have children of different ages, who they have tried different things, and so this is a very wide range of ideas. You're going to get your mind started. And so coming up after the quick little break here, you're going to hear from Aaron Wells. You're going to hear from Rebecca Stewart. You're going to hear from Connie Rader. You're going to hear from Kathy Pollard. And then you're going to hear from my sister, Amber Tatum. And I hope that you will enjoy each of these episodes. Some of them are going to mention some resources and some ideas. And if you are driving or running or jogging or something and don't have a way to write these down or just can't remember all the links and the ideas, you can go to the show notes for this episode. All of those are found at fawnfamily.com/35. That's the number 35. And you hear that mentioned a couple times in this episode as well. fawnfamily.com/35. And you can find the links to those particular resources to help you with these family devotionals. Again, I hope you enjoy these interviews. And following the fifth and final interview, I'll come back and close out the program for today. But thank you for listening. Enjoy these five easy devotional ideas you can do as a busy family.
We are pleased to welcome next on A Legacy of Faith, the podcast, Aaron Wells, all the way from the Nashville area. Aaron, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad you invited me.
Erin and her family recently moved to Nashville not too long ago, or a little bit south of Nashville, and we have a little tradition here, Erin, that we like to let our guests introduce themselves. So take just a moment and tell us about you and your family and why you're in Nashville now and all those good things.
All right. Well, my name is Erin Wells, and like you said, we just recently moved back to the Nashville, Tennessee area. We had lived here previously, and we got to spend almost 4 years in sunny Florida while my husband preached for congregation there and enjoyed our time there. But we love Middle Tennessee, and we came back this summer so my husband could work for a congregation here in the Brentwood area as the associate minister. And so we are enjoying having fall weather again. We kind of missed that when we were in Florida, so loving the change of the colors and the fall air.
Aaron is married to Joe Wells, and you all have, what, 34 kids? Isn't that?
If you take off the three, yes, we have four children. We have three rambunctious and wonderful boys that the Lord has blessed us with, but he also thankfully threw in a girl in that mix. And so we do have one lone daughter, and their ages range from 4 to 12. So 4, 6, 10, and 12.
They're a great family with a quiver full, as the Bible says, and we're thankful for you and your family very, very much. And what we're doing on this week's podcast, as we've talked about with the previous guests, is simply letting some families that are very busy help other busy families with some devotional ideas. So before you give us the specific devotional idea you're going to tell us, I'm guessing, because of what we said before we start recording, that what you're going to tell us is something maybe you've done recently. So were your kids about the age they are now when you did this particular devotional?
Yes, they are. We try and do these type devotionals off and on throughout the year. We sometimes go to other ideas, and then we always come back to this. And so we've been doing this off and on for a couple years now. So Our youngest was about 2 when we started.
Okay, very good. So talk to us a little about, I'm going to give you kind of a two-part question here. We did this before we started. You're going to talk to us a little bit about object lessons in general. But before you do that, share with us maybe one kind of idea and then kind of where these come from, because this is going to be a great resource that hopefully our listeners will want to pick up.
Okay, well, an object lesson that we had done recently is great because it was from the kitchen, so we were able to go to our kitchen, pick out our object, be able to have something that our kids could actually put their eyes on to see, to hold, to feel, and really relate it to the lesson that they were going to be learning. And because it is an object lesson, it was a serving spoon, and we took the serving spoon with the kind of the ladle kind, and they're able to get a lesson where it's tangible, where they see that serving spoon, and then a spiritual lesson is correlated with it from the Bible about service to other people. And then there's also a scripture that coordinated with it, and then also a song. And I believe the song for that one was Make Me a Servant. And so it all wrapped up kind of in a nice little package, going back to serving other people and how we're supposed to do that as a Christian family. And where we got that idea from is actually from the family devotional series, which is Objects from the Kitchen. And my husband and I, Joe, we help run a nonprofit Christian publication company, and we really saw a need out there for more resources for family devotional time, for family Bible time. And what we were seeing as we ran into a lot of families while we were out and about traveling was that especially a lot of dads wanted to have time to study and have more family Bible time with their families. But one of two things, either they didn't have the time because of their work to come up with the material, or they didn't know how to. And so we were trying to take the legwork out of it. And so there's 12 it's a month worth of object lessons from one would be like around the house, around the kitchen, around the garden, and et cetera, things like that. And then there's 12 of those. And so it makes up a year's worth of material. And we have different authors. In fact, your wife, Leah, wrote for our objects from the schoolroom. And so we were very thankful for that. She did a great job. One thing we also wanted to do, because like for us, we have a variety of ages in our family of children, is do something where when you have different ages, you can do it all together, no matter if you're younger and you're older. And I really appreciated how all the authors were able to do these lessons in a way that it related to everybody. And honestly, I really think that if you have older kids, you could probably take the meat of what's there and probably add a little bit to it. And if you just have younger ones, you can maybe bring it down just a little bit to their age. And then, like I said, if you have several ages, it kind of fits where everybody's at. But it's really great because, like I said earlier, you could see it in front of you. Maybe if you're studying like lessons from the yard, there's one about a water hose, and then you can either bring in the water hose. Some people might opt, you know, to Google, here's a picture of a water hose for the younger ones, and talk about how we use that in everyday life. But then there'd be like a scripture that would go with it in a Bible lesson to relate how the water hose, how you can make spiritual applications to that. And so that's one thing that we usually go back to. We don't do it every single day. Like I said, we try and do some other things just to mix up for our kids, but we really love what all the authors did, and we love the point of this, and which is one of the reasons why we saw the need. And so we always kind of go back to that with our own family. And so far, our kids have done really well with retaining the information and being able to go back later on and relate that to real life.
Those are great. And if people are wanting to know more about them, we're going to link to Kyle Publications' website, which is where these are found, in the show notes for this episode. And those can be found at fondfamily.com/35. And as you said, these, you know, some people hear this and they go, wow, that's a whole lot. Now, if you really listen to what Aaron was saying there, pretty much you pick up the object and you can either print out the page that tells you what to say or just look at your computer screen or your tablet screen. It's on CD-ROM, but you could save them over as a PDF to, you know, to the tablet or whatever. And you've got the whole lesson there. I mean, I actually did after recording this, Aaron, this last weekend, Lee and I did a parenting seminar in Missouri, and I mentioned these, and I said, literally, in the time it takes you to pick up the object and print a page, you're ready.
Absolutely.
And so
absolutely.
That's and,
that
great.
Is, and that's one reason why, like I said, we want to do it, because it helps with the parents that want to do something but don't necessarily have the time. And a lot of people will ask us about how long does it usually take to do it. For our family, it takes about 10 minutes. Give or take. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's going to vary from family to family. You can keep talking and add more. You could make it less. But we find about 10 minutes in this day in society, as you know, a lot of families don't have a lot of extra time. They just don't. And, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. And so we like to personally do ours in the morning after breakfast, because if we don't, we find it's harder to get it that time in together. But about 10 minutes is what it takes. And it's just that time spent together to make sure that you're getting in the Word every day.
Right. Well, Aaron, we appreciate you. We appreciate your family very, very much. And as I said, we will link to this in the show notes for this episode, and we hope people will check these out. And even if they don't purchase the object lesson DVD, CD-ROMs, I should say, which we hope they do, just taking the idea of doing something along those lines will be very helpful for a lot of families. So thank you for taking
Absolutely.
The time to share that with you today. We are now pleased to be joined on the Legacy of Faith podcast by Rebecca Stewart. Rebecca, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah. And yeah, I didn't realize until I sent out the invitations and everything else how many of the guests live basically in the Middle Tennessee, greater Nashville area. Three of the five are from that part of the country, really by coincidence, but that's fine. But you are one of those three, but besides being somewhere in Middle Tennessee, let our listeners know about yourself and your family.
Okay. Well, we live in Spring Hill, Tennessee, my husband Greg and I. We currently attend the Spring Hill Church of Christ with our two children, Carter and Weston. Carter just turned 6, and Weston is almost 2. And in addition, we expect our third child in about a month. Greg works as a web developer and entrepreneur. He does a lot of multimedia things. And I homeschool Carter, and I also tutor part-time because I used to teach school before having my second child.
So besides being a busy family, it's about to get even more busy. We wish you well in the birth of number 3, so I'm excited
Thank
about
you.
That. So if you caught that introduction, you know, husband, web developer, entrepreneur, homeschooling a child, all kinds of things, busy life, and I'm guessing because your boys are younger, 6 and basically 2, that the idea or so you're going to give us here are for about that age or somewhere about that age. Is that correct?
Yes, mostly with my oldest son, because I feel like I just had my second son. It's not even been 2 years ago, so he just kind of tagged along for the ride.
Yeah, the devotional for the 2-year-old is as long as we survive. That's
right, exactly.
That's right. All right, well, walk us through then a devotional idea or two that you have done that you have found to be effective or good for your kids.
Okay, well, my child Carter really, really loves to sing. Imagine that. And he sings everywhere around the house and everything. He likes the little kids' church songs. But we realized when we were in worship, we were having a harder time at motivating him once he, you know, started getting 4 and 5 years old to stand up with us when we were singing a song in church. And they don't normally sing the kids' songs unless it's in the children's Bible hour or something like that. So what I started doing was taking songs that I knew we regularly sang in church, and I would write down the first verse and the chorus in a larger font. I would turn a piece of construction paper sideways, and he was getting the word. He was starting to be able to read and especially kind of recognize and memorize words when you see the first letter. So he would sort of have the song memorized, but having that paper there as a reference really helped. And I would turn it landscape and fold it in half. So it was sort of like holding a song book. Mm-hmm. And each song we did, I would do on a different color of construction paper. Just to keep up with them, I would slip them inside a sheet protector, inside a binder, And so when it was time to practice singing them, we would pull them out. And some of his favorites were This Is My Father's World. And so I would make sure I would document this on video, too, because it was very, very cute. He loved it. And when we would have a singing night at church, like every fifth Sunday or something, we would do our best to make sure we requested one of those songs to, you know, get him excited about that and about worshiping with us in the entire assembly. And he also really liked In the Sweet By and By, and I would tell him the story of, you know, that was one that I sang to him when I rocked him at night when he was a baby, and he loved that story. And we just kind of, we are still adding to that. We are still adding, you know, regular hymns that we sing in church. Each congregation has their own that, you know, pop up repeatedly. And that helps him to be more involved in church. And now he's old enough, in six, where, you know, he can read the stuff out of the regular songbook and hold it, even if he can't see whatever's on the screen. So that was a really good idea to kind of involve them in more than only the kids' songs and have him have a chance to talk about the meanings of the words as we, as they came up too. So that's one, that is, that's one idea I have.
That's a great idea. And if Leah were on this, we're recording this by phone. If Leah were on this phone call, she would be sitting there nodding her head, I guarantee you, because this, we didn't do it the exact same way that you did it. But when our kids were about that age, I guess about five or six, maybe even four, we spent some time with them basically saying, look, we know you know Jesus loves me and blue skies and rainbows. Our God is so big, but you're old enough to know, you know, there's not a friend like a lowly Jesus, or, you know, and so we would sing those in our family devotional time. So then when we sang them in church, they really did not have an excuse not to sing along at least with a verse, you know, or a chorus, because they had sung it at home several times.
Right. And it wasn't that, you know, I had to make him do it because it was already something we'd gotten familiar with at home. He was actually excited when he heard that we were going to be singing it in church.
Right.
You know, he wanted to do it by the time we got to that point. And the great thing about it is that I have this now in play for my oldest, and I'm getting ready to have my third. So as long as I keep my little binder around, it could just be reused. For somebody who doesn't, someone who doesn't like to write, you know, I even thought about that. You can just, like, copy and paste lyrics into Word, turn it landscape style, enlarge the font to whatever you want. But that also helps with some of my homeschooling skills and teaching them to read also. So I thought that was a good idea.
That's one. And before we start recording, you said that you had two. So give us a second real quick.
Okay. This is another idea for a busy family. You can start this one even earlier before they can read. You can read to them. I try to collect many, many children's books that have the Bible stories in them. And I realize the connotation you can have with the word story and everything. So I do plan to teach them the word account and how important that is. But we do talk about it, you know, that these are real people, not just, you know, a character in a story. So I usually collect these at yard sales, garage sales, consignment sales, even Goodwill. And that visual aid really, really, really helps. And not only just him remembering to retell the story, but if I see something in there that I kind of question, is that accurate? Is that really the way it is? It motivates me to look that up in the Bible, and I'll do that in front of him so that he can see that. Or, you know, if someone has a picture of a Noah's Ark and it has, like, tons of windows in it, that gives us an opportunity to talk about that and talk about how reliable the Bible is, and that's inspired. These stories can help us, you know, these books can help us, but, you know, it gives us conversation for that.
That's a great idea to use those things, but make sure you talk about what's in them. We appreciate both these ideas. Rebecca, thank you for spending some time with us today.
All right. You are welcome.
Our next guest on the Legacy of Faith podcast is Connie Rader. Connie, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We are glad that you are with us, and Connie and her family, we became friends. We knew each other a little bit before we moved to the Nashville area, but we became good friends. We worshiped together there in Nashville. But for our listeners who may not know you and your family, take just a moment to let them know a little about yourself and your family, and then we'll get to your family devotional idea in just a minute.
Okay. Well, I am married to Michael Rader. We've been married for 15 years. Right now, I stay at home with my children, and Michael's a veterinarian. I have two children. My oldest is Blake, and he is 9, and my youngest is Juliet, and she is 4.
Very good. And we love this family a whole lot. And as we said in the introduction to the podcast, we tried to get some moms with good family devotional ideas, but also moms who had kids of different ages all along the way. So, Connie, before you give us the idea, tell us, were your children this age or about this age when you did the devotion you're going to tell us about in a moment?
I really don't remember a time where we didn't do a devotional. So I can remember when my oldest, Blake, was just a baby, and we would just set aside a certain time of day and just read him a Bible story so that he got used to that. So probably 9 years, I guess.
So starting very young. And with a specific one you're going to tell us about how old were they when you did this particular devotional?
Probably about 2 to 3, we started doing reading out of a devotional book that had a certain story, and they would have questions about the story. So now that my children are older and different ages, we still like to do the family devotional all together if possible. Now, my husband has kind of a strange schedule, but it's still important to our family that if he's there, then we do it when he's there. But if he's not there, then I still leave the devotional with the children. So it's still a priority no matter what's going on. But now that my children are different ages and they think differently now, even though we have it in the same room together, we still try to modify it, tweak it a little bit so it's applicable to the 9-year-old in the questions that we ask about the story, and applicable to the 4-year-old in the questions that we might ask her about the story.
That's really important to kind of make it where it's at their level. So give us, if you don't mind, give us maybe an example of a specific devotional you have done, or maybe a resource you like to use, and that will help us greatly.
An example of, just about any Bible story we have done, we've pretty much covered from cover to cover. For an example, like Abraham and Isaac, we might have covered that in a story, and we talk about sacrifice and priorities. And, you know, with Juliet, it's more like who was in the story,
you know,
and what happened. And with Blake, we're starting to do a little bit more deeper questions. Now, this summer, this is the school year now, and we're usually pressed for time because I put my kids to bed super early during the school year. But we did something a little bit different during the summer. During the summer, I thought it would be interesting to see how this went, and I thought it went really well. I took a verse out of the Bible that I thought we should focus on for the whole week. For example, John 14, verse 6. You know, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." I think that is a good verse for Juliet to start memorizing, because in this world, people will tell you there's all different ways that you can get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus said, "I am the way. I'm the truth.
Right.
I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." So that's, we try to memorize it as a family all week. And then we talked about different things that people would do to try to get you to not believe that. You know, with Blake, with Juliet, it was more just memorizing the verse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that went over really well, and I would give incentives for memorizing it, and I even saw my son reading the verse in his room so that he could say it at the devotional. So that was fun to see as well.
I really like that idea of picking a verse or maybe just a couple of verses and spending an entire week on them. But I really like how you've given us some ideas there about if your kids are, you know, yours are quite different ages. You know, if they were 9 and 8 or 10 and 9, it might not be that much difference, but yours are enough different that the youngest one, you know, hey, just memorizing a verse that long in a week, that's not bad. That's great.
Right.
When they're older, asking some more application questions are great. Yeah.
We also try to sing songs at the end. We let them each pick a song to sing, and we sing it together, and then we say a prayer as a family. And we get them sometimes, you know, they lead the prayer. So, like, with Blake, we try to see you know, who do you need to pray about? You know, mm-hmm. or what do we need to pray about? What have we been struggling with? What should we rejoice about? Just to have him start that process of being close to God in that manner.
Right. That is great. And so taking the time to do something from God's word, to pray, to sing, that's fantastic. Connie, I told you before we start recording, we're going to keep this short, but we appreciate you coming on and giving us some ideas, and I hope families will take this to heart and take these ideas and run with them in their own homes. Thank you for taking the time to do this today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We are now pleased to be joined on A Legacy of Faith, the podcast, by Kathy Pollard. Kathy, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here and just so thrilled and so excited about everything you guys are doing at Legacy of Faith. Appreciate your good work.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you and your family so very much. And I've told you before, I've told your husband before several times, the one thing I don't like about our families is how far apart we live.
I know, but that's the blessing of technology, right?
That's right. That's one of the great things. For those of our listeners who may not know you and your family, take just a moment and let them know a little more about who we're actually talking to and listening to today.
Okay. My name is Kathy. I'm married to Neil Pollard. Neil preaches for the Bear Valley Church of Christ in Denver, Colorado. We've been out here for over 9 years, and we have 3 boys. Currently, our oldest is 21, and our second son is 19, and our youngest is 17.
Bear Valley Church is a great church in Denver, and you all are doing a great work out there. And we, like I said, the only problem is how far away it is, but we appreciate you all very, very much.
Come out for a visit.
It would be nice. These things called vacations don't seem to happen as much as I'd like, but that's okay.
Oh, I know. It's a beautiful state to come visit.
Yes, absolutely. As we said a couple of times on the program already, we are calling this week's program some devotional ideas for busy families, and that certainly describes your family. You all are busy all the time doing things, and we're trying to encourage families of several different ages with some quick ideas. So before you give us the devotional idea you're going to share with us, kind of let us know when you did this. Was it recent, or was it something from a long time ago? Kind of how old your kids were when you did this one, that sort of stuff.
I chose to talk about a time when our boys were probably between the ages of about 8 and 12, maybe 8 to 13, somewhere around there. So it's been a few years. Now they're off, you know, doing their own thing and going to school and studying ministry. So I'm recalling back, but this is one of my favorite periods, so that's why I chose to share this particular idea.
That's a good age, and those of us who know my family know that our oldest is barely, well, both of our kids are just barely in that age, so this will be encouraging for me or something for a couple of years down the road. So
good. So
walk us through a good devotional idea for one of those days you're really busy, but we know we need to teach our kids the Bible.
Okay. Well, first let me just throw in there, sometimes when things get really busy, you just have to make do with what you can, and sometimes we had devotionals in the car, even when we were driving around if we needed to. But for those nights when we were home, one of my favorite things that Neil would have the boys do would be to assign each of the boys something that they would do in the devotional. So they were really the ones that were putting on the devotional. So since we have 3 boys, he would ask one of them to read the scripture and one of them to lead the singing and one of them to come up with a devotional talk, and then one of them, probably the one that was reading the scripture, would also say a prayer. And when they were younger, he would assign the scripture and assign the devotional talk that they would come up with, and then as they got a little bit older and a little bit more comfortable with doing that, we let them do the whole thing themselves. You know, they would decide what theme or topic they wanted to talk about, and so they would coordinate together, and they would come out with the songs that would be led and the scriptures that would be read and the little lesson that would be presented. And I just have such great memories of it because they would take turns standing up on the hearth for their part of the devotional and lead the whole thing. And I just smiled the entire time. So by the time it was over, my cheeks would be sore, you know. But it was just so precious to see them take the lead and actually lead the devotional themselves.
That's a great idea, and teaching them leadership and teaching them how to think. Let me ask this, when Neil would give them, you know, when they were still young enough and he gave them the ideas, you know, how much time did he give them? Was it like that morning or early in the week, or kind of how long did they have to kind of think through the scripture or the theme they were going to be thinking about, talking about?
Oh, not long at all.
Whoa.
It was usually the night before, you know, okay, tomorrow night. And then he would tell them what they're going to do, because it wasn't a full-length sermon, you know, just something for them to be thinking about the next day. And if they needed help with it, they could ask for help. But usually they knew how to go think of a Bible character or example of somebody that, you know, they wanted to talk about, and a lesson that we can learn from it, and a passage to read to go along with it. So it wasn't, you know, difficult, but just to get them comfortable, like you say, in leading and participating.
Well, that's a great way to do it, too. If they say, you know, tomorrow night we're going to be discussing this, then you know that even though they're going to school or doing whatever they do, that thought's marinating in their mind for an entire
right.
day, and there's nothing better than that. You know, they're thinking
right,
about something
right.
scriptural all day long.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great idea, and I appreciate that one. That's one that sometimes I think parents think that we have to come up with everything every single night. Sometimes you can say, all right, kids, tomorrow night's yours.
That's right.
So that is great. That's a great idea. And we're keeping these brief. So, Kathy, we just appreciate you being with us. And before you sign off, let our listeners know about your blog, especially. I love reading it, and I think a lot of readers would get some encouragement by it.
Oh, thanks. It's just a simple blog. It's called Life in Favor. I try to post about once a week, but I can't always. But it's just little. Usually, I write about what I need the most, so something that I need to study or improve on, and I just try to write a little brief, you know, something encouraging for the rest of the week. So it's life-and-favor.com.
Very good, and we will link to that in the show notes for this episode. Those can be found at fawnfamily.com/35. That's the number 35. FawnFamily.com/35. Kathy, thank you very much for being with us on the program this week.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Last and certainly not least, on this week's episode of Legacy of Faith, the podcast, we are pleased to be joined by Amber Tatum. Amber, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And as I said in the introduction, Amber is the best known of our guests, hopefully by the people who are listening, because she is a part of a Legacy of Faith. But I know she's the best known by me because, well, I've known her literally my entire life. Amber is my sister. Just in case somebody just happened to stumble across the podcast on iTunes or something and doesn't really know anything about a Legacy of Faith except they see, hey, this is kind of a family podcast, Amber, take a moment and let people know a little about you and your family and all the good stuff.
I am married to Jeremiah Tatum. He is the pulpit minister for the Willow Avenue Church of Christ in Cookeville, Tennessee. We have three children. We have Luke, who is 14 and a freshman in high school, involved in the marching band. We have Daniel, who is 11 and sixth grade at Prescott South Middle School, and he's also in the band and loves to play chess. And then we have little Elizabeth, who is 8 in third grade at the school where I work, Prescott South Elementary, and she loves everything she ever tries. She finds joy in every aspect of life. So
she just loves life.
Yes, she does, in general. I work there at the elementary school that she attends as the Tier 3 reading instructor for kids who are behind in their reading skills. I'm currently taking classes online through Fried Hardeman to get licensed in special education with my undergraduate degree in public relations. So life changes and so do goals, but that's what I'm doing right now.
So just a couple of things going on. And
just a couple.
Yeah. So, well, we are calling this episode Some Family Devotional Ideas for Busy Families. And I think by that quick little introduction, you can see that, Amber and her family certainly qualify as a busy family. A lot of irons in the fire. But one thing you all have emphasized for a long time is family devotionals and being together as a family. And as I've asked all the guests up till now, give us an idea, first of all, of you told us how old your kids are now, but is this what you're going to walk us through, a family devotional idea that's been recent, or kind of how old your kids were when this was done?
The one I was going to talk about today is actually what we did last year. So 7, 10, and 13 is how old they were at that time.
Okay, so good range of ages there, which I think is going to appeal to a lot of people. So, all right, knowing that, just walk us through the idea and how maybe it can help some families who are busy.
What we did for most of last year is Jeremiah would take the time sometime during his day to create just a one-sheet piece of paper about a book of the Bible. We went through the books of the Bible in order and just tried to give the kids a good overview of what was in those books. He would pick out maybe kind of a theme or a one really important story that had something that could really help children, really emphasize something that could build their faith. And we would go over that sheet that he made out for us with the key points and key characters and talk about the time frame of when that was going on in the world. And that was the Bible basis of it. The part I loved about our family devotionals when we were doing that one is, and this is not something that you have to do, but I loved it. We have a family room where we do most of our living, and then we have a living room that, you know, is the company room.
And, it is odd how that works. Family room is usually where you're living, and your living room is where you don't live. So.
Right, exactly. But for some reason, when we started doing that, we would come in the living room. And so it was just that small change of setting. It was still in our home, but it was like it gave it a little bit more emphasis because it was something special we did in a different room. And we would sing two or three devotional songs and let the kids pick or try to pick some that went with what Jeremiah had picked out to emphasize from the book in the Bible. And then we would go over those, and he would let them either read. Lissa at that time was a younger reader, and she was enthralled with the fact that her secondhand tablet had a Bible on it that would read out loud for her. So if it was her turn, he would let her push play on that, and it would read, you know, from the Bible for us. But get them involved in that part, and then he would also have, like, a questions part at the end where we went back through, and we would always try to finish with a family prayer time, and he would go around and ask everybody to tell us something to put on our prayer list for that night that related to that topic or just anything that was really on their minds. And the biggest benefit I saw from that, besides obviously giving your kids more background knowledge in the Bible, giving them something to understand the book, I mean, how many kids when they hear Joshua know exactly what happens in that book, or, you know, or Habakkuk, what? I mean, you know, they're doing good if they can say that. But just giving them that idea of how the Bible is put together, what is in each book. But beyond that, the part that I loved was when we would answer questions and then especially that prayer request time, because the more we did that, the better they got at really thinking of things that were really on their heart and mind to ask us to pray about. And it's an excellent time for parents to see kids really are thinking about and dealing with.
Yeah, that's great. That's true. You know, the prayer requests, I like the way you said that too. The kind, you know, the longer you do it, I think sometimes kids learn from, sadly, they learn from us that when, you know, maybe a special service at church, they say, anybody got any prayer requests? And it's just crickets.
Right.
And they learn that, over time, you know, it's okay to say, this is bothering me, or, hey, this great thing happened at school or whatever. And they open up, but it takes some time and patience to be willing to have some nights where it's just crickets.
Well, and they would, you know, it started out with things they might repeat something they had heard at church, you know, just or somebody's name that they recognized that was on a prayer request they had heard. And so they might say something, but then the longer we did it, the more personal it got and the more diverse the prayer requests got. And, you know, by including the parents in it, we tried to be genuine with things that we wanted to pray about, and I think that example, as well as them just becoming more comfortable with it and more aware of what they wanted to pray about, was a good thing, and saw growth in that throughout that time period.
Very good. So let me ask real quick just a couple general questions about the devotionals themselves. One, you mentioned this is something that your husband Jeremiah did kind of during the day, putting these sheets together, but how often did you do these? Was it something you spent like a week on each book, or you just did once a week, or how did that work?
We had one night a week where we would come in the living room, like I said, and he actually went and got every member of the family had their own binder, like a three-ring binder, and so he would make this sheet. I actually just got one out to look at. We kept them in a special place in the living room, and so that was part of the routine, is somebody would hand out all the binders and get out all the songbooks and all that kind of thing. But, like, just when I opened it up to the very first one, it's a one-sheet thing, and it says Genesis, Book of Beginnings. And then he has songs, where he says sing two songs that relate to this book. And then he's got a list of, on this one it happens to be 7 questions. You know, what does the word Genesis mean? What does the book teach about? Who wrote this book? What are some of the important events you all remember from this book? What time frame in history does the book cover? Who are some of the important characters? And what is the main thing God is trying to tell us in this book? And then underneath that, he has some key verses that he pulled out. And on this one, actually, I misspoke. It's 2 pages because there are so many key verses in the book of Genesis.
Yeah, Genesis is kind of a long book, yeah.
It does cover 2,500 years of history. So.
Yeah, 50 chapters, 2,500 years. It takes a while.
Right. So anyway, and you know, you think
I'm guessing Psalms probably had quite a few as well.
But anyway, it just that's the kind of thing that we would do is go through that kind of structure, you know, giving them some history, giving them some main ideas, and then like I said, the prayer time. And so you could kind of see when you got over in some of the later books when you're talking about the main idea being like Ezra. You know, talking about the main theme of the book being the rebuilding of the temple and some of the things that went along with that. From Ezra 7:10, it says Ezra had done 4 things. What are they? Why should we do them? And then pray about that together. So those were the kinds of things we were trying to emphasize.
That's fantastic. One other real specific question, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who thought of this, since you said we did all the books of the Bible. How did you handle books that are, you know, not just difficult, but I'm thinking, I'll just be honest, I'm thinking specifically like Song of Solomon, you know, books
right.
where, I mean, the theme is something that is, you know, what's the best word here, kind of edgy for kids to even think about, you know, and that's not the only one. You think of some other books that have, even
Hosea.
New Testament books like Galatians, you know, Hosea or Galatians has a lot of emphasis on circumcision, you know, throughout. What, 2 or 3 chapters of a 6-chapter book? You know, how did you handle those sorts of things?
Well, like the one you mentioned specifically for Song of Solomon, the title that he gave that one was Love Between a Husband and a Wife. And he talked about the fact that God designed marriage for a man and a woman to enter into together. And, you know, marriage as being a creation of God. And then mentioned what the New Testament talks about, that marriage is honorable. And that kind of thing. So there are ways to teach the concepts without having to get into the, well, I don't even know how to word what I want to say there.
It's adult material.
Without getting into the specifics of the adult material, you can still teach the concept of marriage is for a man and a woman and God designed for it to be beautiful and a close relationship and that kind of thing. You know, same thing with Hosea. The overall theme of that is God's faithfulness and taking us back. You can talk about that without having to be inappropriate for the age of your children with describing things you don't need to describe. So, and we went through the Old Testament. We did not do the New Testament yet in that. So I think I saw the very first one of these we did was in September of 2013, and the last one we got to on those was in May of 2014, you know, doing about one a week. So we still have a few more books of the Bible to go, but things change, seasons change. We hit Bible Bowl. You know, we hit Bible Bowl season, and so we might take a break, and our summer months are spent studying more, using those weekly times as backup and review for Bible Bowl, something that's going on in our congregation. So,
right.
You know, even though it's a great overall program, being flexible with what's going on in real life is important too. So, and just spending the time together is what's the most important, with it having some emphasis on God's Word.
Right, and that's something I'll kind of peel the curtain back a little bit here, Amber. That you're not only last on the program today, but you're the 5th interview I've done in order. I think that is actually, if my memory is serving here off the top of my head, I think that's actually been said by all 5 people. That it's just it's just the time, you know, emphasizing on God's Word, whatever you do. And I'm going to close the program out after a little music here in a second, but I'll go ahead and say it here too, that that's what we wanted this program to be, was do something. And we're all busy. Some of us lack creativity, but I think all of these ladies, these moms, have given us ideas today that will help us, even if we're not all that creative, even if we are slammed busy, where we can take a few moments and just sit down and be encouraged that other families are doing this, that are busy as well. And that encourages me to know that as crazy as our lives are sometimes, we're not the only family trying to do what's right. And so I appreciate you being with us today, but more than that, I appreciate being my sister. So you kind of had to say yes, but I appreciate you being with me today.
Hey, I'm always glad to get to talk to you. We are busy, and I miss getting to spend time and talk to you. So any excuse to call my brother is a good one.
Well, we appreciate being on the program today.
Thanks.
I think following those five interviews, you can see why we wanted these five ladies to come on, these five moms to come on. They have given us all great ideas, great idea starters, and I think this was totally unplanned. I simply contacted them and asked if they wanted to come on and said, hey, just make sure you have a devotional idea ready for us. As far as I know, they didn't talk to each other. In fact, I'm sure that they didn't talk to each other ahead of time, but the ideas were varied, and I hope that that has been encouraging to you, because we just want you to know that you can do this. As a family, as parents, you can do this. It doesn't take a great amount of creativity. It doesn't take a huge amount of time to come up with these things. It just takes the willingness and a couple of ideas, and so we've tried to share that with you this week, and I hope this has been encouraging to you. As we've said a couple times on this particular episode, you can find any links that have been mentioned, any resources that have been mentioned at the show notes for this episode at fawnfamily.com/35, fawnfamily.com/35. I hope this has been encouraging to you. Family devotionals are a great way for a family to come together, to love God, to grow closer together, and we just want to encourage you to be involved in those family devotional times. I hope you'll join me again next week on our podcast. I'm going to be joined next week by Leah. I'm excited about that. It's been the first time she's been on with me for a little while, and we're going to be talking about the Bible school program at the church, and that's one of her great passions in life, and so I'm excited about her being with me for next week's episode. But until then, remember, your family can go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.